Hello, hello, welcome one and all, and welcome back to another episode of Game Over.
Another
marathon episode of Game Over. That's right, I'm your host, of course, Simon Pazman. Once again, by the full squadron of faithful squadmates, we are joined by Adam Pazor and Matthew Minney. How are you doing, lads?
I'm doing very well.
How's your triumphant return to the great Canadian wilderness, Matt?
Oh, so triumphant.
You're done with that nice French weather?
I don't know if I'd say nice. Warmer doesn't always mean nice.
Nice, perhaps?
Hmm?
Oh, French joke. Nobody got it.
Okay.
Very rainy and foggy. Mm. It's nice to see the sun again.
Well,
even if it is minus 30.
Yeah. It was plus 10 the day that I left.
Mm. The day you left Winnipeg?
No, the day that I left France.
France. Yeah. Interesting. They always throw that on, like, if you're listening to the weather on the radio or whatever, they're all just like, it's going to be minus 57, but sunny. Well,
like, that doesn't really improve. In fact, it's colder when the sun is out.
Yeah, exactly. Give me, I'm envious, as much as we, like, dominate the winter, I'm really envious of those people who live, like, on the coasts where they have just buckets of snow, the fun part of winter, without having the bitter, bitter cold. Mm-hmm. You just get the worst of everything.
Yeah. I will say, though, even after just 3 weeks, I kind of missed snow.
Mm.
I only saw snow once, and it was, like, up on a hill far away.
Far away.
Mm. Yeah, fair. Well, it's definitely good to have you back. I promise, Adam alluded to it here. So, first of all, a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, as I always try to say, go on Facebook and like us at Game Over UMFM on Facebook. We want to hear from you. We want to see those likes. It always makes us feel good. Get the endorphins running. What's the thing? I should know that, but I don't know the thing. The thing that goes dopamine hit from the like. I live off that. The second little bit is, yes, we are doing a full one-hour episode this week. The third thing is, no, don't expect this to be a regular thing that we've gone on and off candy-caning TV talkers and Game Over. It just has worked out that way, because we still haven't had an episode in 2019 with both.
Yeah.
First we did an hour, then they did, I think, half an hour, and then now we're doing another hour. But next week, fingers crossed, knocking on wood, it should be back to half hour and half hour. And actually, it's probably a good time to talk about TV things. First of all, Game of Thrones is coming up. I don't know if anyone else is doing the whole watch an episode per day and you're ready for season 8?
I meant to, and then I was, like, away.
I just started yesterday, so... Yeah.
Although I believe the schedule allowed for weekends off.
It does.
Yeah, so even if you're starting late, you can still get into it.
So you can catch
and
up.
Really, is it a crime if you watch more than one episode in a day?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the bigger challenge is only watching one. Yeah, it's just like, if you go. Yeah, but I started it, and then I realized I didn't have my full attention last night, but... that Bandersnatch thing for Black Mirror. Bandersnatch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bandersnatch.
The interactable Netflix movie.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's both a game and a show.
Mm-hmm.
The fusion. The perfect fusion. So maybe one day we're going to have to talk about that and we'll team up into a tag team. Who knows? But in the meantime, we are talking about the brand new video game news. And the thing that's just been dominating the video game circuit this last little bit has been Mortal Kombat. But before we get on that, Matt, you were on a lot of planes lately.
I was.
What was your weapon of choice on all these long plane rides? Did you go with the movie or did you go with the Switch?
I did a bit of both.
Have you tried Valkyria Chronicles yet?
I did, and then I was very jet lagged, and then I stopped. So I didn't make it very far.
Yeah.
I didn't break it out on the plane. The plane on the way there, I got some Smash in.
Mm-hmm.
The plane on the way back, I got some Breath of the Wild in. Next to another guy who was also playing Breath of the Wild on a Switch.
Nice.
Yeah, I was watching a movie and then I glanced over. It's like, okay, no. This is coming out. Like,
did you bond over it? Was it like, bruh?
A little bit. I mean, he barely spoke English and I barely speak French. So it was a little difficult, but it was a cool moment for sure.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a video game light time. So the planes were the only time it came out, but
I find that too. There are certainly games like the more you know a game, and I'm doing my yearly run through of Awakening right now. But the more you know a game, the less brain power it takes to use it.
Yeah,
and those are what's good for planes and stuff like that. Like similar to what you said with Valkyria Chronicles, I've been stuck on the last level for close to a month because I haven't had the time to sit down and the brain power to do it. It's like, I haven't beaten it yet. It would take focus. You just can't do that kind of stuff, jet lag. Mm-hmm. But wandering around in Zelda would be perfect.
Yeah. Something like Smash, great.
Yeah.
Just plunk it down on your little table tray for an hour and go.
Here's the real question. You were sitting next to a guy with a Switch.
Yeah.
And you had Smash.
He did not.
Oh.
Yeah, but he's
got a controller. I know. Okay, no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
We know what we should have. I didn't think of that. I was just like, ooh, Zelda, I have it too.
Dang it, that would have been great. Yeah. You could have a little battle. I don't even know.
I don't really
battle
trust
the Francophones. There it is. Found it.
I will say I don't really trust the Switch's kickstand on a flimsy plain tray.
No, absolutely not.
Much without the Joy-Cons on the side.
I'll tell you, go on, go on Amazon and buy for $20 the larger kickstand that's not made by Nintendo, but you can plug it, the charger cord underneath. It's big. It's got separate levels. I'll even whip it up. We're going to have a commercial break halfway through this show. I'm gonna whip it out and show it to you. By the way, if you just joined in for that line, it is a video game show.
We promise. It's a family-friendly video game show.
Video game show.
Where we talk about Mortal Kombat.
Speaking of family-friendly, let's move right into Mortal Kombat. Let's do it. So, I was watching to try and get hyped a video. I think it was on YouTube. It was called, Why Mortal Kombat 9 Was So Great. And I got 11 minutes of the way through an 18-minute video. I think those are the numbers. Don't check. Whatever. And the guy still hadn't talked about Mortal Kombat 9 because he was purely talking about the online community of Mortal Kombat.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, it succeeded because of that. And yet I had no idea about it because we just don't play
online.
We don't play online. Each game that comes out, I play it online for a week when everyone still sucks. And then after that, it's I don't have the dedication to come up with combo strings and do all this kind of stuff, which is why the Mortal Kombat series is probably the best. And aside from Smash Bros., which is technically a fighting game, too, I suppose. But
very different.
Of the most traditional fighting games, I think most Mortal Kombat, ironically enough, might be one of the most user-friendly ones, or introductory-friendly.
Yeah.
Because it has so much stuff to do that's not online. I even played Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff for a review when I wrote for the paper in high school. And I rented it, and it, had the towers. And it was, easy to get into with the combos. You could button mash probably more effectively than in Mortal Kombat. But it just didn't have anything to do. And I find that a lot of fighting games, is what I'm hearing, aren't populated with stuff.
Yeah.
Versus Mortal Kombat and the Injustice series before it, or I guess simultaneous with it, they usually have a solid 10, 15, even 20 hour, depending on how much you suck,
it's very story much mode on how much you suck.
To go along with it.
Everything has a long story mode if you're terrible.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's Majora's Mask had a 5-year story mode for me when I was growing up. You really can't beat that. But I know I have fond memories of the Mortal Kombat series. I know Matt hasn't had much experience, but Adam, what's the series mean to you? Because you're a little bit older, so when
I
we were
was.
Growing up, you had, again, this is one of those things like Doom, where you were probably more in the age bracket where I would just look at the colorful ninjas.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've always sucked at Mortal Kombat.
Absolutely you have. I'll answer that question because I've sucked right along with you. Again, family show.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that was it. It was always because, and we were old enough at least to have played the games before we saw the movies.
Yeah, that helped. Speaking of sucking, those movies.
Oh, boy. I mean, the first one was okay. It was Annihilation.
It was in the hot trash, but enjoyable hot trash thing.
And Annihilation just, no.
Just trash.
Yeah, just trash. But, no, I think that was it. It was I really enjoyed that they actually bothered to give these people all of this backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, I remember when we were younger, they looked at this and they went, well, they just colored the same ninja 6 different ways. And I went, well, yeah, but they have names and histories and there's stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
They all look the same, but that's a character model problem, not a... I mean, I wasn't that eloquent as a 6-year-old, but still.
I like to think you were.
I like to think I was too, but I know that I wasn't.
Yeah. You just peaked early and plateaued.
Yeah,
since
exactly.
Then.
Yeah. It's all downhill from about 8.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, it was... But that was... So it was a really important thing to me because it was a thing where... this is kind of weird to say, but Mortal Kombat was one of the first times I really got into a game's story. Because back then, the games I remember from childhood were Doom. Nobody cares about the story of... The Doom guy doesn't care about the story of Doom. So nobody else does.
Yeah.
What else did we play? Cruisin' USA. That was another game of our childhood. No story, just car racing. And then Pokemon, which of course had a story. But again, it was a that's a very different sort of game.
Yeah, kind of. And the story was kind of your choosing, right? Like, I think everyone's fondest memories of the Pokemon story were probably what they their own headcanon, not necessarily
what happened
strictly
in the
what
game.
Happened.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this was, like, Mortal Kombat was one of the first experiences I had where, like, this is a story somebody took time and effort to craft, and it's... And again, it's not hugely... It doesn't really come into its own until they start doing cinematics for it later, but there was so much just in the little bits that they gave you that it was clear that, you know, Ed Boon and...
John Tobias? Yeah, I think it's John.
I know it's Tobias for sure, but I think it's John Tobias. Like, they clearly had a world here. And that was one of the first times I can remember experiencing that. And that was really cool, and it was really important to me. And, of course, that was one of the first ways where we had our fire-ice split. Because that's sort of been a tradition ever since we were kids. Every time there's a game where there's fire and ice things, I'll take ice and you take fire.
And usually how it goes.
The one exception to that, of course, being Digimon, where we went the other way around.
Ah, yes. You took Agumon.
Yes. But, yeah, no. So it was Mortal Kombat was sort of really important to me. And so I've been very closely following it ever since.
I mean, we're going to get into the second half of the show. Obviously we hope you're going to stick around for it. But we have what I think is going to be a pretty good discussion, which is going to be games that saved franchises. And I was really thankful because I kind of knew this story sort of in growing up, like particularly in 1, 2, and 3. And then 3 had like 4 different versions of 3.
Yeah.
And then 4. And then Deadly Alliance had a story mode that I could follow, sort of. But again, it referred to stuff that I didn't really know from the first ones.
Yeah.
Deception carried on the story from Deadly Alliance. And then Armageddon was just like a total, the most obvious reset button you could set.
Yes.
And honestly, at the time, I thought that's going to be the last in the series.
Yeah.
And that's partly why I think that Mortal Kombat 9 is so important for people. I mean, to date myself, I'm 26 now. Shout out to my birthday last week. Yeah. But even I am, like, I'm kind of like the target audience. I might even be a little bit old for the target audience of the Mortal Kombat series, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably targeting angsty young kids. And that's not total kids.
Despite its M rating.
High schoolers, yeah. Right? And high schoolers and, like, young university students and, like, young adults. That's probably... Like, I was watching the reveal trailer for this game, and afterward they had a comment... They played... had they brought in 8 of the best fighters on the Mortal Kombat competitive scene to actually fight there. Like, they brought them in.
Oh, cool. I didn't
and
see
they
that.
Were, like, all between 18 and, like, 24.
Yeah.
Like, they were all so young. And a couple of them had, like, started off on the previous game or even started off on Injustice 2. And I'm like, you guys are the best in the world that they could get, at least.
Yeah.
Like, they usually had a couple championships to their name, and they're insanely young.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by young. I don't mean literal kids, although I'm sure that they're playing it, too. But... For MK9, like, bursts through the door and says, not only are we going to be an outstanding game, we're going to have an outstanding story with it, and then we're going to retell it in case you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And it was so good that it, like, sort of filled in the gaps formally that you had in your head. It was like, the first one was on an arcade. It had a story, sort of, in that you kind of had the, here's Clue the good guy, and he defeats Clue the bad guy.
Yeah.
And maybe some text, but this was like, here's the story. Yeah. There it is. And that... I mean, it's say the franchise, which we'll talk about in a bit, but that really exploded my love for the series. I loved it before just because it looked cool.
Yeah.
But that was like, wow.
Well, that was, I guess that was the one good thing the first movie did.
Yeah.
It was like, here is, because you play the games, like, here is what is supposed to be going on. And I remember watching the movie and I went, oh, that's how those pieces fit together.
That's how they're supposed to be doing it. Yeah. I mean, it also, I was telling Matt before the show about this, it came out at a time in my life similar to Brawl, where I was just out of high school, or, like, it came out in March 9, this I'm talking about. It came out in, like, March or April 2011. So we would have just been graduating high school, and that's when you can still see all your friends, like, a daily basis.
Yeah.
And so I have, like, insane... I was always the worst of the group, because I had a few people who would just, like, one guy in particular would, like, memorize frame counts and, like, no combos and all these strings. So if we were playing, like, King of the Hill, it was always me sitting in the back watching them battle it out. And then eventually I'd get a chance, promptly lose, and then go back to it. But it was still fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It had a way to make it fun. And the characters are such a wide...
Yeah.
Such a wide net of characters they have.
That was also actually the highlight of my Mortal Kombat career, which was playing about twice, but watching all of the like fatalities.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they're called. Yes.
Yes, that's what they're called.
Yes. Just on YouTube. Because, oh, yeah. Like, that was just the one of the big games that was coming out, and even if I wasn't playing it, I was like, okay, this is really cool.
Yeah.
So I watched a lot of those. But
it's done a lot for gaming as a, like, I mean, there obviously there was the big controversy, which we're not even going to go down that road because there's no point. You've decided, basically, on how you feel about that kind of stuff now. But at the time, you go back to Mortal Kombat 1, I think 2 and 3 as well. They had, like, real people that they digitized and then threw in there. Mm-hmm. So that's weird. Everyone else is like this crappy pixel stuff, and then all of a sudden, is that a real dude?
Yep. Yeah, that's a real dude.
They did that for some reason, and like that made the final bosses, Goro at least, I guess he wasn't the final boss, but the mini boss, was like claymation. And so if you go back and you look at it, it's like, it's weird that he just, everything else is kind of real, and then all of a sudden this clay monster thing comes in, makes him seem even more monstrous than he was. But real life people at the beginning. And, of course, fatality. It was, like, the big thing that this did for the series. And story. Like, when you think about it, no game has even tried to copy it because it's so intrinsic to this one.
Yeah. Mm.
How many absolutely worldwide famous things can you name that another series hasn't even bothered? We're not even going to attempt to have a knockoff brand of it. Basically nothing.
Yeah.
If something makes something, someone else is going to copy it. Even the other fighting games are like, I got nothing. Like, we can't.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? It looks too obvious.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's have them fall over or explode.
Yes.
You know, like,
KO.
Yeah.
Ring out.
It's like, no, I'm going to rip this guy's head off.
Yeah. I'm going to rip this guy's head. Like, particularly now, if you look at them, they make no attempt to have it be anatomically correct.
No.
Like, in the most recent one, they have a fatality where I don't know if I should throw up a trigger warning because it's disgusting, but I don't know, maybe? Where a guy punches somebody from the back of the head and their face comes off.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like...
it never... Well, I think one of the things... If you're a person who's like, who has always looked at Mortal Kombat and goes, come on, that does it. Like, even by fighting game standards, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Here's my advice to you. Think of it as an anime.
Yeah.
And that just, it just makes everything work.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like something like that is inherently silly.
Yeah.
So just go with it.
Yeah.
Don't try to make it serious if it's not serious.
But you can still take it seriously, which I like.
Not that the game isn't serious.
Exactly. But it's more like, for example, as I think I told you last night, I've been rewatching Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, and it's a super Japanese anime. The characters are really arch and really just sort of over the top. And if you lean into that, like, there's emotional punches in there. And that's the sort of thing you can do with the Mortal Kombat series. If you're upset, it's like, this is ridiculous, but they're taking it so seriously that I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Not to get on a little soapbox here, but that's how I feel. I think I talked about this last time, even the three of us were on air. That's how I feel about Infinity War. Or any time in a movie, people are like, well, I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen to Superman because, you know, he's going to come back for sequels. First of all, right now, he might not be coming back for sequels.
Yeah.
Whoops. But also, just in any character with, like, plot armor, it's like, you're not leaning into it. If you lean into it, it's like, that's clearly awful for the player or for, like, whoever it is.
Yeah.
You're going to have a better time. That's exactly the way it is for this. And I think, well, we're going to be talking about the roster in a split second here. But by adding horror movie staples to the roster, they're just showing, we know our audience. They probably like over-the-top gore for the sake of it. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to lean into it. We're going to go as extreme. And, like, there's no way they thought about that as possible.
Yeah.
Just have fun with it. And on top of that, I said it when I bought Injustice 2, and I'm going to say it again. I think Ed Boon is one of the last... Not that there aren't other great creators. I think we're seeing, like, a new generation coming up. But he's one of, like, the original... visionaries of video game design that's still going.
Yeah.
Now, you can think of a few of them, like Will Wright or the guy that you like always love to mock, Peter Molyneux.
Yes.
Ed Boon's another one where it's like, very few games can you point out and be like, this guy made this game.
Yeah. Well, I especially noticed that. Like the... I remember when
Ken Levine is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Levine, BioShock.
Yeah. The first thing I thought when I was watching the gameplay reveal is like, even without... Because the I forget who they had first. But it doesn't matter. Like... Just the way the characters stand and the way the fighting game moves, you're like, instantly, that's Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It stands out even among fighting games, and I think that's so cool.
Yeah. 100%. So, we are going to talk. We're going to stop fawning over it. We're going to talk about the gameplay reveal a little bit, and then we're going to talk about the roster. So, Matt, I promise we'll have stuff for you to say later in the show. But in the meantime, you actually noticed different stuff about the gameplay reveal than I did, because you took away something and you were talking to me yesterday. I'm like, did that even happen? I was too busy focusing on the other stuff.
Yeah.
So they're really doubling down on interactables, first of all. They were more prevalent in the Injustice series. Like, they weren't even in MK9 that much. MKX, they brought them in from Injustice.
Yeah.
Or just, like, there's something in the
background,
you grab it and you throw it somewhere. It seems like they're doubling down on that. A lot of characters using weapons more, but that's just a fighting style thing. But what I really liked as soon as I looked at it was they've made a bunch of simple but very smart mechanical changes.
Yes.
The first one being your bar, which you have at the bottom, which isn't tied to your special moves necessarily, but it's tied to breakers for combo breakers. So if you're getting stuck and you're getting trapped, you need a combo breaker to break out of it. And it's tied to enhanced super moves, so more specialized moves than that. Those are separate from each other now, and they're also separate from your X-ray meter.
Yeah.
So I was playing a little bit of MKX and MK9 with you yesterday.
Yes.
And I was reminded how a couple of the characters I played, I just never ended up using the X-ray because I like their enhanced moves so much.
Yeah, so you end up spending the meter.
Exactly. And then you're seeing a little bit less of that character. And also, the way they did it was, the X-ray was, you could use it anytime as long as you had the meter, and you could use it as many times as you wanted. Now, they've changed pretty much everything about that.
Yeah.
There's an entire bar for defense. There's an entire bar for offense. They do not charge up the more you do or take damage. So that's the way it was in the first one.
Yeah.
So, for example, whoever got the first hit got a bonus to their bar.
Yeah, they got a full bar.
Yeah. Not there anymore. It just charges up over time. So it's going to be, like, strictly fair.
Yeah.
And the super move is tied to your health. Once you get below, you get to use your super move, which is called a finishing blow.
Yeah.
Or fatal blow. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, below 30%, I think he said.
Which I love how they are leaning into the fact that, yeah, this would kill you.
Yeah.
We're not even going
to. Which is funny because it doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah. But it's just another thing. It's just another, like, wink. It's like, we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I really like that. It was like, if you're dominating the match and then your thing fills up, you won't just get it, like, quicker than the other guy.
Yeah.
So if you get below, it could be your last stand. It could do more damage than the other guy has. Like, so you might be losing. You get that thing, you activate, you win. But if you hit with it, that's the only one you get for that match.
So the whole match. Okay.
Yes. So there are multiple rounds. First of all, you don't get it in the same round, and then you don't get in the same match as well, is what I've heard.
Oh, okay. I didn't
know. So if you're doing best 2 out of 3 and you're getting smoked in the first game, you get down below, you don't think you're going to win. Probably not worth using it.
Yeah, just lose this one and.
Exactly. So it's a little bit of extra strategy. And the X-rays are still there, but they're just attached to special moves. I it wasn't clear to me what activates them, but for some
maybe
special moves, you use them.
Or something.
Maybe. It might be the enhanced versions, actually. But it'll lean in, and it'll show an X-ray version of what that move did to the other guy. So what they've showed repeatedly, and it's disgusting, is Baraka has an attack where he bites the other person's arm.
Yeah.
And in the X-ray, it zooms in, like, shows a chunk of arm coming out.
Ew.
But it's very quick, and those versions of the attacks do extra damage.
Yeah.
But even they can only be done once. I think that's per match, though.
Okay.
So you have 4 of them.
Yeah,
but you can do each of them once, so you can't just keep doubling up. If you're really good, if you spam this one move, you can't get the extra bonus damage each time.
More than once.
I love all of those balancing changes. Yeah. Every single one of those, I love.
Everything. Yeah, all of that's great. No, I'm super happy about all that. It looked really good. The meter split is great. Because I agree with you. I was sort of the opposite way. It's like I never used my enhanced supers because I'm like I just want to build up the X-ray.
Yeah.
Because that's just so much free damage. But I think one of the things I really liked, actually, and I didn't think of it when I was watching the show, the reveal, but I thought of it when we were playing the game, is like, because we haven't talked about the character customization yet, which is sort of the other big thing that they've done.
That was the other thing that I really liked,
And I like everything about that. You have a huge array of costumes, if that's your thing. You can change fighting styles again. They brought that back, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that.
The variations
kind of
like from
From Armageddon.
No, MKX had variations, which are kind of like fighting styles.
Oh yeah.
So they're sort of tweaking with that.
Yeah.
They definitely want to have one character, multiple ways to play them.
Yeah.
And what I don't know if they call it fighting style specifically in this one, but there are variations on MKX, and I think that's been tweaked too. But it's some part of it's returning.
Yeah. And then everyone has stats. And it looks like you can adjust your character's stats a little bit, which I like. I'm really hoping you can't get more points, because then you're sort of in the problem of, well, my main is now 10 times better than anyone else on this roster, so what's the point in playing anybody else?
Yeah, that's kind of how it was, to be honest, in Injustice. But yeah. Then when you went and played online, all those stats like zeroed out.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's I can rearrange the stats how I want. Maybe like off a baseline. So someone like Baraka, it's like his strength score always is going to be high, but you can tweak how high. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That'd be a neat thing to do. But yeah, well, what I was going to say is that the thing that I noticed that I'm really happy they did, and I didn't think about it at the time, was that you can change their intro, like how they come onto the stage. And I was like, oh, well, what do I care about that? And then we were playing MK9, and I heard Sub-Zero go, this match will be your last 50 times. And I went, well, yeah, I'd like to change that now, please.
We are many. You are but one.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, speaking of that line, which is an Ermac line, because he's made of an amalgam of souls, I was watching an MKX video, and it was of Ermac just kicking butt, because I just want to see what it's like when good people play as him, because that's my favorite character. And when he fought Ferator, which is a character from MKX, who's like a giant with a little child-looking thing on the back,
yeah,
controlling him, when he beats her, he does say, we are many, you are but two. They were
really?
Smart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Little details. Very
oh,
well
that's
done.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so smart.
That's great.
Yeah, so the character customization looks great.
Yeah.
And the game's not even going to be that far away. It's like in April. Yeah,
April
and the beta's coming
almost
out
almost exactly 3 months, in fact.
Yeah. I like how they've kept it close to chest, because I really like when games are like, announced, and here it is.
Yeah.
Like, particularly Fire Emblem, they announced that game, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It's refreshing to see it so close between the release date and the reveal.
Yeah. It's nice. You don't have a lot of this painful waiting. Okay. So, what everyone's wondering, the roster. We're going to do the roster, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about something completely different that Matt and everyone else can participate in, I swear. So, this will be a fun one. There are, in that announcement, I'm looking at the screen here, there are spots for 25... fighters, right?
Okay.
And I assume the 26th is going to be Shao Kahn. That's going to be
right,
an even...
Right, he's a pre-order only.
Yes. So we're going to assume that there's going to be 26 fighters. That's what we're going to go with. Plus about 12, that's the number we're hearing, DLC fighters. Of which, and this is where Matt can participate, we're going to say 4 will be guest characters.
Okay.
You know what? Screw that. Let's go with 6.
Okay.
Bold.
6 guest characters will be really fun. So, I'm going to read out the roster, because some of these guys were either killed last time or whatever. We don't know much about the story. It's got a new bad guy, who in this case is a new bad girl named Kronika.
And her henchmen.
And her henchmen. Oh, I heard that, I don't know if this is correct, but Garrus is not spelled the Mass Effect way, but he's definitely in the same, race as her, I suppose, but I heard a rumor that he was opposing her. We didn't hear anything actually confirm that either way.
He looked very Prince of Persia.
He did. He was like, they called him a Sandman.
Yeah.
That's basically, he's the Sands of Time guy, and it's a really cool effect. I expect Kronika's going to be the same way. But I like how they're, to be honest, I didn't particularly love the story in MKX.
Yeah, I was unimpressed.
But I really like how they're doing time travel, and again, I'm playing Awakening right now, so it's super fresh in my brain. That's such a smart way to bring back old characters that might be dead, or bring back old versions of characters that you might not have seen for a while, and just really refresh your roster. And especially in this one, a lot of the old good guys are now evil. So it's like you might have a shuffling.
Yeah.
We'll bring back maybe the evil guys are going to be the good guys are going to be the evil guys. You could do that. Characters on all sides are beloved.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have a problem with it. So, here's all the characters that are confirmed in some way. Okay, so some of these are just screenshots or, like, people were watching a gameplay reveal and saw someone in the background or saw, like, a silhouette of someone. So, these are all the things that are known to be confirmed.
Okay.
Baraka, Cassie Cage, Garrus, Kung Lao, Kronika, Liu Kang, Raiden, Scorpion, Scarlet. That's an interesting one. Sonya, Sub-Zero, and Shao Kahn. So that's the 12 that we know, which means there's 14 that we don't know. And I had them listed in terms of where they appeared. Maybe I've lost that page. So, what do you think of that list so far, Adam?
I'd say there are a few glaring holes.
A few glaring holes.
Well, for one thing, it's weird to me that, because most of those are brand new, almost brand new, or classic. Mm-hmm. Cassie Cage jumps out as weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Because she was the main character from MKX, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. We did follow. I don't really remember the story of MKX because I didn't like it very much.
It ended off with Johnny Cage discovering the power of love. And then that passed on to Cassie Cage, and she beat Corrupted Shinnok.
Oh, yeah, she did.
You probably blocked that out of your memory because it's kind of stupid.
I'm sorry, Ed Boon. I love Mortal Kombat, but MKX was a stain.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely probably some people out there who love that, maybe like more military families love that there's just special forces and they're just as powerful as the ninjas and the demons. But I love the ninjas and the demons more. They're just more interesting.
I mean, Jax was cool.
Jax, yeah.
Sonya's cool. Like, their interaction was cool. I'm not a big fan of their kid.
Yeah. Kano and Johnny. And apparently there's a rumor that Kano's going to have a kid in this new one.
Huh.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this in chunks. All right?
Okay.
So we have 14 spots. I'm going to say, let's just count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm going to say that 6 of the 8 new characters from Mortal Kombat 8 will be returning. 6 of the 8.
Okay.
So we already know Cassie Cage is in, so that's one.
Yeah.
We have D'Vorah, the Bee Lady, Queen Bee.
Right.
Aaron Black, the Gunslinger. Farrah Tor, the ones I referred to earlier. Jackie Briggs. Kotal Kahn, Kung Jin, the cousin of Kung Lao. And Takeda, the son of Kenshi, are trained by Scorpion.
Right. Man, I'd forgotten all of those people existed until just now.
Whoops. Now they're fresh in your brain. So, we have Cassie. It might be easier. Who do you think is not going to come back? I have a pretty firm vote here. I think I know. If I was going to vote to the two not to come back are going to be Farrah Tor. We have plenty of big characters, and Garrus looks to be a big boy.
Yeah.
And Jackie.
You don't think Jackie's...
I think they're going to have to cut one of the kids. Pardon me?
I'd be surprised if the Bee Lady came.
D'Vorah. You don't think D'Vorah's coming back? Like, she's just so different.
That's true.
That was one of my main problems with the kids. It's like, I have your parents.
I don't need you.
Yeah, so Kung Jin is an archer. Never been an archer in Mortal Kombat before.
Yeah, that's different.
So and Takeda is a different combination of the two of them. So is Cassie, and she was the main character. She's coming back, which leaves Jackie.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Farrah Tor is coming back.
Okay.
I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say Darth Vader doesn't make it in this time.
Probably not. But you never know. Kylo Ren, maybe.
Yeah. I guess I say that, but Darth Vader was in Soul Calibur.
I was going to say, wasn't he in Soul Calibur?
Darth Vader was in Soul... I was actually watching a video. They're sort of like Watch Mojo, except it's good. It's called Outside Xbox. I don't know if you guys have seen them. It's a bunch of really sassy British people who make stupid lists.
Okay.
And one of them was the 7 characters that did not belong in the game that they were in. It was fighting game characters. Yeah. And, watching those, I'm like, what? Why are they there? Like, in one of the Marvel versus Capcoms, there was this animated cactus thing. I don't even remember his name. Yeah, and he was angry at humans for destroying plants or something like that. I don't know. It made no sense. But weirder things have happened.
Yep.
Yes,
okay?
That's true.
Piranha plant is going to exist.
Piranha plant's going to exist. Never say never. And to be honest... Disney would never go along with it, but a lightsaber would be really cool in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
You could actually see what a lightsaber would do.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, sweet fatality.
A laser sword,
too.
A laser sword's a generic enough thing. They could do one without it being a Star Wars.
All right, we got a bunch of spots to fill out here.
Okay, we're gonna populate this list so we don't think... Okay, I'm going to put it to you. D'Vorah, Farrah Tor, Jackie. Who is returning out of those three?
I guess you're right that D'Vorah's weird enough that she might come in. I'm trying to remember if any of them were actually popular enough to be...
I don't remember. I mean, I thought D'Vorah was pretty popular. Aaron Black was really popular. You put a cowboy in there and you voice him.
I'd be very surprised if he wasn't here.
Yeah. Kotal Kahn is a pretty big character now in the new thing.
Yeah.
And again, I explained, I think Takeda and Kung Jin are both locks.
Yeah.
Takeda, for sure. Was, I think, the most popular children character that I can remember. Okay, so we're going to move on from that. We're going to say that D'Vorah is coming in, and they're not. Now, what characters from the main roster.
I mean, there's a lot of holes here.
There are a ton of holes.
There's no Ermac. There's no Smoke. There's no robots at all, actually.
There's no robots.
No Smoke, no Cyrex, no
By the way, Matt, there's robots in this game, too. Did we mention
Why
that?
Not? Yeah.
Excuse me, Matt, while I now say about 30 names you've never heard before. Yeah, there's no Smoke. There's no Sector. There's no Cyrex. There's no Ermac. There's no Frost. That's a bit of a deeper dive. I'm sure there are people going, what about X and Y? They're way more popular. I'm just saying them in the order I remember them, okay? Who else isn't here? Reptile's not here.
Reptile's not here.
Good Lord.
I think let's start populating this list with some gimmies. I think Reptile and Ermac.
I'd be stunned if they weren't.
I would be stunned if either of those two. If nothing else than the fact that they're always good story cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Like, you rarely get to control them in the story, but they're just...
They're a good henchman.
They're good enough henchmen. Yeah, especially in this new one. Ermac is definitely a henchman.
Having seen it when I was watching you play MKX, the Tri-Robot, whatever he's called.
Triborg.
Like, if you don't want to include all three robots, he's a good way to get them all in one place.
Yeah. I'm just going to write down some robot.
Some robot.
There's going to be a robot in there. I'm not sure who. Maybe it'll be a combination of Cyrax and Sector. Although, originally they were called Mustard and Ketchup because they're red and yellow. So maybe we'll have the Relish robot. That would be my deal.
Get a nice mayo robot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they are fondant variations. We might see Cyber Sub-Zero again.
Yeah. I'm going to make a bold claim. I'm going to take off a few on this list, and I'm going to make it really tough for you. I'm going to add two more new characters. There. So now we have four new characters. I think that might even be conservative, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
So now we have Kronika, we have Garrus, and we have two new characters. Who are they? We don't know.
Yeah.
So now, looking at this list, you still don't have Malina. You
Katana.
Still don't have Jax. Katana was, I thought... Leak. Oh my god, Katana's not even on this leak list.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, Katana's not even in there. I've heard a lot of things that...
Jade.
Jade. I've heard a lot of things that Rain is going to be in there.
Okay.
So I'm going to put
There's
Rain in
ninja.
There. Because especially Ed Boon apparently is a huge fan of Prince, hence the purple ninja named Rain.
Yeah.
Who's a prince. And it's not,
he was not subtle.
Yep.
Again,
not at all.
Lean in.
Yeah, just...
You gotta just lean
silly.
In.
Yes. So I think Rain is going to be a main character that would be a good flip of the switch on that one. Or is there any... Let's think. I think...
You know who might be interesting to see if they come back, considering what the story looks to be shaping up to be?
Go on.
I can't remember his freaking name, but he's the guy who you played as.
Shijinko?
Yeah, that's it. Because this is a... Because from what we've seen in the story, and I'm going to spoil the intro a little bit, so if you want to know absolutely nothing, then stick your fingers in your ears for 30 seconds. But... Basically, the idea is this Kronika lady has been... They're doing the sort of, I'm the grandmaster of all of your doom, whatever.
Yeah.
And she, like, according to her, everything that's happened up till now has been part of her plan. Which I say is nonsense, but whatever, we'll roll with it.
Sure.
Up until Raiden did whatever he did in MKX that I don't remember. But something bad. He did something to foul up her schemes, and now she's stepping in directly.
Yeah.
So that's the principle of it. And I'm like, okay, well, the last time, you know, the gods went all to hell, we had this random person from... Was he even from Earthrealm? I don't even remember which realm he was from.
Dujinko? I think he was from Earthrealm, yeah.
Yeah, he stepped in, and he solved everybody's problem, apparently. So it might be interesting to see if he comes back again.
Boy, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's my out there pick.
That would be an out there pick. You know, we'll put him in there.
That's my out there pick.
We'll put him in there. I also added Katana,
because
I think that's a lock. And there are, I mean, there's a few of them that are currently Revenants, is what they're called, like the zombie things. They're obviously going to be in there.
Netherrealm is weird.
They are weird. And I think that there's going to be, I think they're going to make a ninja combat pack, and that's going to feature Smoke and Noob Saibot.
Of course. How did we forget Noob Saibot?
So we have pretty much have a populated roster. The new guys that we added are going to be Shao Kahn's already in there. Aaron Black, Kotal-Kan, Kunjin, Devorah, Takeda, Ermac, Reptile, some robot, two new characters, Rain, Katana, Shijinko.
We have a big gap that I just noticed.
Go on.
The big villain. The original Shang Tsung is not here.
Perfect. That is guy, believe it or not, number 26.
Oh, there you go.
So that's it. That's the roster. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
But there it is. Okay.
How to design a game in 15 minutes.
Yeah. How to design a game in 15 minutes. So, let's hear some weird DLC picks. So, the two rumored ones. So, I'm even going to throw them on the list. Michael Myers.
Yeah.
From Halloween, right?
Halloween, yeah. Halloween. It's the Halloween series. That's right.
Yeah. The new one came out. They've had the staples from the other ones, from the other horror movies in. Just makes sense.
Yeah.
Michael Myers probably going to be in there. I heard people who are like, I'm more confident Michael Myers is going to be in there than I am Katana's going to be in there. She's the main character.
Yeah.
So Michael Myers is going to be in there for sure, and I think we can all agree it would look awesome if Pennywise from It was in there. Again, movie coming out this year. Just do it.
Yeah, just makes sense.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So there's two. I want four more characters that you think these guys are going to be in there. I won't even vote.
Just out of nowhere.
Preferably horror characters. Okay, so it probably won't be...
Should probably fit with that kind of thing.
Yeah, just...
Fit. Yeah.
Because my very first thought was just, like, for something ridiculous, like, I wonder what Mickey Mouse would be like in this game. Never in a million years, yeah, never but that would be amazing.
Disney would not let that happen.
Let me clarify. First of all, I don't think we're going to have any Disney inclusion because they teamed up with Warner Brothers for Injustice. Yeah. However, I will remind you all that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are a character in Injustice 2.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yes. So,
it's possible.
Anything can happen.
Again, I don't think it's going to be Disney because I don't see Marvel teaming up with the guys that make some of the best DC games.
Yeah.
But
you never know.
Anything can happen. Yeah. The turtles are in that game. Yeah. So,
okay.
Matt, while you were sitting there, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, if we're going for horror stuff, I'm not sure how much they could show with what he's known for, but Hannibal Lecter is the one that comes to mind.
Hannibal Lecter in a fighting game.
Like, not a good fighter, but just, like, for, I don't know, just for, like, well-known horror people.
Yeah.
His person comes to mind. I'm not really sure how
Jack
much.
Jack the Ripper?
I mean, that could be good, yeah. I mean, Mortal Kombat is, like, pretty much as violent and gory as you get, but I'm not really sure how much you are allowed to show in terms of, like, cannibalism.
Well, we saw Baraka eating a guy's arm.
Oh, okay, then it's fine.
They go all out.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, we've had... there's been multiple instances of fatality involving somebody getting eaten.
Like, all right, then we're
Melina, good. Baraka, the Turkottans are brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, they... And Baraka, in his fatality that they've shown, eats a brain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We're good. Throw him in there.
It takes a big chunk out of a brain.
It's probably not a great actual fighter, but it was just one of the first things that came to my head.
I was trying to think of other 80s horror staples.
Yeah.
So the only one I could think of is Pinhead. Are there other ones that I'm missing?
Well, I mean, now that I know that robots are in here, Terminator comes to mind.
Terminator would be
great. Oh, that's a great choice.
Let's throw that in there. Yeah. Terminator.
He has actual moves.
Yeah.
That would be good.
No, I just want to, just because we brought up Melina, I want to say on air what happened last night, because I had a friend over. And she doesn't know Mortal Kombat. She looked at Melina and was like, wow, she's not wearing enough clothing. And both you and I went, trust me, you should be thankful for what she is wearing.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be happy that you don't see more is basically what's going on with that character. Actually, you know what? I want to get up on a little soapbox here. I'm usually on the side of the characters look what the characters look like. They were designed for whatever reason. And if they look more fantastical or not fantastical, I kind of... let it get away with it, particularly in MK9. The characters were built like they looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
In that one, they took a much more realistic turn in MKX. Looks like they're going to be taking a much more realistic turn in MK11. And I've seen a lot of people complaining online. It's like the girls aren't hot enough.
I'm like, that you missed the point.
You missed the point. And to be honest, in addition to being kind of juvenile, that's like a thing that's going to ruin it for you. Like, is that why you're playing the game? These guys are putting such hard work into it.
Play Dead or Alive.
There's games for that. And it always takes me out of the experience when I'm watching a game where a girl is fighting. Or a boy, really. Like, if it would make no sense if Conan the Barbarian is running out there naked either.
Yeah.
Right? But where someone's fighting and they should have armor and they don't. It's been made fun of to death. And I think you're getting your gratuitous stuff with the fatalities. They're on the right side of history in this one, making them look more realistic. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And I think, like, in some situations it made sense just because, and like in a vacuum, a lot of their outfits don't make sense, but they would make an effort in the story mode to be like, this is why this character is dressed this way at this time.
Yeah.
Like Katana's dressed like a slave girl because she is one.
Yeah. At the time, like a slave Leia situation.
Yeah, exactly. To her own father, which is weird, but...
it's messed up.
Yeah.
But, like, Melina is the one, it's like, they could probably dress Melina however you like. because that's her character. She seduces you and then has the most disgusting face in the world and proceeds to eat you. Not cannibalism, because she's not a human, but, you know.
it's awful.
Yeah, so that one.
She looks even more horrifying now, because part of her mouth is normal, the rest isn't.
I didn't like that retcon at all. It's just strange.
Yeah, well, I think that was the point. And if it was, then it succeeded.
All right, we need three more guest characters here before we take a commercial break. You know what? Let's do it. Darth Vader.
Why not?
Because that would be... Can you imagine the fatalities with a lightsaber?
The lightsaber, just the force.
Yeah. It'd be great.
You'd finally get to see someone actually just torn to pieces with the force.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you really can't see the full brutality of what could happen in the Star Wars universe in any of the Star Wars properties.
Yeah. No. But you could hear.
But I would love to see it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm going to throw in another one since you guys are clearly struggling. Spawn.
Oh, that'd be cool. That's so obvious.
I know.
I can't believe I didn't think of that.
I can't believe
it either.
That'd
be great.
All right, now between the two of you, I need
one more. One more. Oh, Pinhead was a good answer, though. I like that one. Yeah.
I don't think...
Not in a fighting game.
Yeah, I don't think they'd ever get the rights to it again, like Marvel and other stuff, but Venom could be cool.
Venom would be cool. Yeah.
Not a realistic guess, I think, but...
Yeah, if you want to lean... Like, if you lean superhero with DC, like, there's plenty of villains you could pull there that...
That's actually a phenomenal pick, because... Mortal Kombat characters have gone into DC,
so go the other way around.
What's a DC character that should be in Mortal Kombat?
The one that jumped at me actually was Scarecrow.
Scarecrow?
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Ooh.
And again, like, he's sort of Freddy Krueger, but more so. Especially if you lean onto the way he looked in the more recent movies, but...
That's a good pick. I would even like a corrupted Superman. It's like Superman Unchained. What could it be like if Superman was unleashed without having to hold back in a bloody universe? I would love to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And especially since, like, this is a situation in which it would be realistic for people to actually fight him, because it's well known that Superman's big weakness besides kryptonite is magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mortal Kombat universe is overflowing.
Tons of magic. Matt, before we take a commercial break here, with 13 minutes left, what DC character would you want to see in the Mortal Kombat series?
I'd kind of like to see just an absolutely out of his mind demented Joker.
Yeah, honestly, it could be that.
Just simple. He's always kind of mad, but just like has completely lost it. No holds barred Joker.
Yeah. That would be very entertaining. Yeah. That would be very entertaining. Okay, so we are going to take a quick commercial break here. And when we return, speaking of MK9, we're going to be talking about games that revived their franchises. So stay tuned. We got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. And we're back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to, or you are continuing to listen to, a Power Hour episode of Game Over, only at 101.5 UMFM Radio and UMFM.com. Remember to go on Facebook and like us at UMFM, Game Over UMFM. I'm going to try getting out more polls. I had a couple of them in 2018. I want to get that more regularly in 2019.
Is that your New Year's resolution?
That's going to be my New Year's resolution. You know, I had a different New Year's resolution, but that's going to top it, because who's going to get in shape? So, I should do something that I'm
not
actually going to do. Yeah, not with all these good games coming up. So, we were talking about Mortal Kombat the last 50 minutes, and basically how, I mean, it was a juggernaut of the industry, kind of died off a little bit in Armageddon, was gone for quite some time, came back, revived itself with MK9, and has been absolutely flourishing since. So that got us thinking, what other franchises were about to die, and then a game came in and revived them? I am going to put in a little stipulation on your guys' lists.
Okay.
Because I want a couple things. I want the franchise, this might cut them down, to have been... Let's go with at least three games. So if you just had like a one-off and then it failed, and then something came off wildly successful sequel, not good enough. Franchise.
Okay, that doesn't cut any of mine.
Perfect.
How many Dooms were there?
I think that's on all three of our lists.
It's not on mine, actually.
I was literally about to say four, and then I thought Doom only had three. Three games.
Yeah. Three games.
And more importantly... This has got to be a game franchise, not necessarily a studio. Okay. Yep. So if a studio was going down, and like I believe that happened with Square Enix, and that's why Final Fantasy is called Final Fantasy, because they were just like, let's make one more game, call it Final Fantasy, and see if anyone buys it. $1 billion later, here they are. But that was the first Final Fantasy. Okay.
That eliminates one thing on my list.
Ha 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 ha. So there we go. Matt, since we've done the majority of the talk, and I'm going to let you you start this off.
Sure. I know we literally just said it, but I'm going to say Final Fantasy 15.
Ah.
Not saving Square Enix because they're doing fine. But it had been, I mean, Final Fantasy's a long series with a lot of really great games in it, like some all-time classics. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone would include 13 and 14 on those lists. And I'm not saying Final Fantasy 15 is a classic, but it was definitely successful. It got to the good benchmark, which the series hadn't gotten around to in a while. And I don't know, it was kind of nice to see. Like, I wasn't a big Final Fantasy fan, but it's sort of one of those things that, you know, when they come out and it's just been bad for a while, it's just kind of sad to see.
Hmm.
So it was nice to see them actually come out with something that, like, you know, got to, like, B+ range for the first time in a while. And, like, it, you know, they had all kinds of DLC and other, like, there was a comic, there was, like, a TV show, they had all kinds of stuff around it. So it seems to have, like, you know, invigorated the franchise again. Enough, at least, that there will definitely be a Final Fantasy 16.
That's what we're looking for, the guarantee.
Yeah.
And you even reminded me, like, we don't know if this is the game that saved the franchise because it hasn't happened yet, but that's what I'm hoping for with Valkyria Chronicles.
Hmm.
It's like, a fair amount of people played 1. Cult classic. No one played 2 and 3, and, like, everyone's saying Valkyria Chronicles 4 is the swan song. Like, this is it. It better work. And that's why I encourage people to go out and play, because it's a really good game. Adam, let's hit up your list, which we probably won't get through all of it, so pick and choose your best
one. I'll do it as quickly as I can. So a couple of them, the first one that actually came to mind was Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah.
Because that had been planned to be the last one. Mm-hmm. They were like, this is it, we're killing the series, and then it just kicked so much ass they had to keep going.
And now it's dominating Smash Bros, and it's one of the Nintendo's biggest franchises.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an unbelievably impressive
success
story.
That was a big one. Another one, even though this didn't do it for me, there's really no doubting that Call of Duty 4, the first Modern Warfare,
mm-hmm.
kind of gave that series a kick in the ass.
Now Call of Duty is almost synonymous with video gaming.
Exactly.
Right? Like, people who don't know about video gaming, they think about video games, they're probably thinking about first-person shooters because of Call of Duty. Yeah, 100%.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
I know the list you're looking off. I actually disagreed with that pick because I think that Ubisoft would have kept making Assassin's Creed because they make enough money.
That's true.
But yeah, it definitely...
But I mean, like, they stretched out 2 for so long that it just sort of gotten worn out, and then 3 was just okay.
Yeah, certainly the next one that they did was a big one. So
it was a zap.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed wasn't about to die, but it was definitely getting tired.
Yeah, it was running out of steam, and then they
affected. Yeah.
The
running out of steam, so they used wind instead. Ho! There it is.
Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
That was literally the only Resident Evil I've ever played, but I have it on multiple reliable sources that basically everything before it was terrible, and everything after it has been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
although I would say Resident Evil 7
could
also go on.
I've heard good
list.
Things about 7. Yeah. So they got it with 4, they got it with 7, so there's a gap of 2 games in between. Maybe 1 was good. I don't know. I haven't played it.
Mm.
But yeah, that was a big one. And Alien Isolation. Is the other one. Because there had been, to my knowledge, not a single good game based on the Aliens franchise until that one.
That is fair. I'm going to throw in 2 super easy ones that you guys are probably all thinking of as well. Doom, which we already talked about.
Yeah.
It's super... I mean, basically what we're looking for with this question is what kind of took a franchise that milked all it could, beat the dead horse with the concept, and then was able to successfully reinvigorate itself. So you could even throw God of War in there.
Yeah, that's true.
But certainly Doom counts, and then the new Tomb Raider. They've come out with like 3 in 2.5 years or something stupid like that.
Which is
But similar to how you talked about Final Fantasy, it's like it's good to see it succeeding. Same thing with Lara Croft. It's that they did a really good job reinventing her, and it's good to see an absolute titan of the industry of old dominating once more. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
like most of the like ones that were sort of like reinvigorated or saved are honestly things that I'm not like a massive fan of, but it's just kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
You know, like who thought in like 2019 that like Final Fantasy, Tomb Raider, and Doom would be relevant?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I almost don't think, like, I wouldn't count God of War because it's not God of War anymore. It's something else now. Like, Doom is clearly still... Like, they took that franchise and it's like, here is Doom again. But God of War is like, we're taking this character that you remember and we're going to put him in something different. And it was great, but it did not reinvigorate God of War.
You know what's interesting about it, and I want to hear, I'm sure Matt has more on his list, but it's like, people really jumped down the throat of Assassin's Creed Odyssey for stealing the Assassin's Creed name but doing something different. And I don't hear that about God of War. I hear people...
I was one of those people about Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah, for the most part, pretty much embraced the new mechanic. I was listening to a podcast with Corey Barlog, the games director, and he was talking about how they did focus testing. And like a guy, I think it was a teacher, who said, I work all day, I hate these kids, I go home, I want to play God of War, I want to murder everything. What have you done? Now you're making me emphasize and hang around with a kid? I hang around with them all day. And apparently he said playing that game was like a pizza with only olives on it. And so when he finished, like, as a bad pizza, and so when they finished, they ordered him a pizza with a mountain of olives, and they gave it to him.
Yeah, excellent. No, that is kind of how I felt. I struggled to get into God of War for a good while, because I'm like, this is not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned, like, it was great in the end, but it was not what I wanted.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you have more on your list?
I do, although I would say, I don't know that I would agree with that you can't change something and still have it, like, reinvigorate something. I mean, I don't think anyone would say that Super Mario 64 didn't invigorate the Mario series.
No, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It's just a matter of perspective.
Yeah, it's just a sort of evolution thing. One I had on my list, we talked about Black Flag, but the one that I actually had on my list was, what's the name? Origins.
Origins,
Assassin's Creed Origins. I mean, Black Flag definitely did it, but Origins, I feel like, was... Like, Black Flag, I think, kind of took people by surprise, where Origins was the one where it was actually kind of, like, big again.
Yeah.
And
Black Flag, while you're looking that up, Black Flag was such a one-off, too. Like, it didn't even really feel like, even more than Odyssey is, it felt like a side story.
That's a fair point.
So it's like, this still isn't what Assassin's Creed is about. This is just an awesome pirate game in the middle. Yeah. But will it be able to come back? And then Origins was like, no, we still have something to say. I was even going to say it's a super easy one. And the franchise wasn't totally dead. But here's a weird one. Breath of the Wild. Okay, so bear with me. Zelda's always been popular. But Twilight Princess, I love that game. A lot of the diehard people think it's just too close to Ocarina of Time. And then Skyward Sword, I didn't even finish. Gets rather divisive. Yeah. Most people had, at least before Breath of the Wild came out, fond nostalgic memories of the Zelda series, but there wasn't as much faith that it could reinvent the wheel the way it did, and then of course it comes here and it just blows the doors off the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. Matt, finish us off. Do you have another couple?
Another one that we had that was already said, I had Call of Duty 4, which, like, I don't think Call of Duty was hurting before that, but, like, man, did it have some life afterwards.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and then the last one that I had was Wolfenstein The New Order.
I had that on my list too.
Yeah, like, not really a relevant series at all before that. I was surprised to learn that there had been other games before that, you know.
That's up there with Doom, right? It was by the same guys, id Software, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, here's a game that people have fond memories of 20-25 years ago, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, they're making a new one, that's good.
Yeah,
what shocking.
Yeah, and a little bit on the Assassin's Creed games, that series that, like, you know, we're already doing fine but definitely got new life. Pokemon Go.
Ah,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's very different from what we're saying, but, like, I don't know any series that has ever received such, like, a rush of new players as Pokemon did for Pokemon
Go. I was
Go.
Thinking about That's that literally point. On the way here. I'm like, Pokemon was never dying, but what that game did for the series can be measured in dollars and cents for a long, long time. All right.
And then they tried to do it with Harry Potter, and it did not work out.
Well, here's open for that Magic Awakening thing not to be terrible. All right, so we have officially run out of time. That was a fantastic discussion. But as much of fun of these hour-long episodes have been, next week we are scheduled, we'll see how it goes, but we are scheduled to return to our regular half-hour 5 to 5:30 slot, and we'll have TV Talkers in the 5:30 to 6 slot. We are very excited to be back for the new year. We're very excited to have Matt back for the new year. Keep playing, guys, and we'll see you next week.